Okay, we're learning from the Tzavosari Vash that we've been doing for the last few weeks. From the some basic teachings from the Baal Shem Tov, which are focusing more on moral guidance and religious guidance and basic principles of the Baal Shem Tov's derech, the derech of Baal Shem Tov, as opposed to learning different pshatim in the psukim themselves. So this last piece that we're doing sort of brings it together. But I recommend that anybody that wants to see, we just did some selections from the Tzavosari Vash. It's available in English. This sefer is available, and it's very kedai to go through the entire sefer, because we don't really have as large a collection, as thoroughly done, translated collection of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings as we find here. So the piece on the bottom of 139 is Hashem, God, teach me your derech, teach me your way, and lead me on the oirach, the path of uprightness. Hareini Hashem darkecha, hareini, the Hashem's derech. And then we ask Hashem to lead us on the oirach mishor. So the Baal Shem Tov is going to explain the difference between these two requests. On the one, the first request is teach me your derech, and then the second is, and lead me on the oirach, on the path of uprightness. It is known, the Baal Shem Tov taught, it is known that derech refers to a trodden road. In Hebrew, and this is something that the Mefarshim explained in many places, and the Malbim goes into this as well, the difference between derech and orach, which we find these two words being used interchangeably very often in Tanakh, particularly in Tehillim, being used. Derech and orach. A path, a derech, a way and a path. So the difference between these two, it is known that derech refers to a trodden road. A derech is a road that already, it's a road that's already in existence. It's a trodden road, right? We're dealing before the time of highways and before modern times. So that lashon of derech means a trodden road. And orach refers to an untrodden road. That's when you're sort of finding your own path. So the word derech means it's a derech that's already there. And orach means that you're creating your own path. It's an untrodden road. There might have been a few people there, but in general, it's untrodden. On the latter, one may sometimes stray and walk towards a place of danger. Obviously, the second way, which is called orach, that second way is much more dangerous, and the person could possibly stray and walk towards a place of danger. It's much more dangerous since it's untrodden. From the words of Lahavdil, Elif Alfei Havdalos, a famous poet, it's the road not taken. With a trodden road, however, there was no cause for straying. When it's a trodden road, it's a road that's been already, it's been used, so then there's no cause for straying. These two aspects relate to man as well. So Baal Shem Tov said, now these two aspects relate to man and the service of Hashem. Man has a trodden way to serve the Creator, blessed be He. There's a trodden way. There's a path that's been worn over the years, that's been used over the years, time and time again. Shachris, Minchamarv, right? Shabbos and Yontiv, all the halachas, and all the halachas of Tarish Baal Peh. All of that is called the Derech Hashem, or the Derech of Torah. It's a trodden way. And he will surely not stray from it if he follows it continuously. And therefore, with Hashem's help, if parents go down that road and they bring up their children with Torah mitzvahs, now we see it's not so poshut. I mean, it's never been poshut, but now it's becoming, even the derech is so dangerous. But the derech was usually well-trodden and pretty secure, the way of Torah mitzvahs and the halacha. And that's why, as it says in the Psalms, the word halacha comes from the word halicha, which means to walk. And it means walking down that trodden path. This refers to one who separates himself from everything mundane and occupies himself day and night with nothing but Torah mitzvahs. That's a very safe path. The path of Torah mitzvahs, of being separate from things of this world, that's called a derech. He converses on nothing beyond essential matters. That's very safe. There is also another road that is not trodden. Now, the reason that it's fitting to bring our discussions of the Baal Shem Tov to a conclusion with this piece is because this pretty much sums up the way of the Baal Shem Tov, which we call the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, but after we learn this, it really should be called the Orech HaBaal Shem Tov. Because the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came to strengthen the trodden path, that road of complete observance of Torah mitzvahs, and a person separating himself from this world and occupying himself day and night. Certainly the Baal Shem Tov came to strengthen that. But the Baal Shem Tov also said that it's important that a Jew takes that journey on that which is called the Orach. Now the Orach is not as safe as the Derech. What does it mean, the Orach? It refers to one who sometimes converses with others. What the Baal Shem Tov is saying on our level, it means it's not the person who's sitting and learning day and night. It's not the person who is completely isolated from this world. And you all know that one of the things that the Baal Shem Tov would be proud of is the fact that there would be some sort of, you know, that there would be a guy driving an ice cream truck, you know, that's saying Tehillim between runs, right? And a fellow that's a hardworking guy and a farmer that's standing in the field with his talus cut and flung over, and he's plowing away the field. The Baal Shem Tov was proud of such Jews. The Baal Shem Tov adored such Jews. Not to say he didn't love the people who were learning, but the Baal Shem Tov came to tell us that there's not only a derech, but there's an orach, but the orach is very dangerous. And that means a person who is not sitting day and night in learning, but a person who, he says, sometimes converses with others, means that he's involved in day-to-day contact with other people. He speaks, though, for the sake of heaven. There's a very high level. The Baal Shem Tov said there's a very, very exalted level of a person who's not just sitting and learning, but a person, there are some people that's not within the realm of their choice. Not everybody can sit and learn all day. Not everybody can be isolated from this world. So there are others, the Baal Shem Tov said, that they're involved with the world, but he tries to perfect himself so that when he speaks for the sake of heaven. That is, he speaks of things that affect moral guidance, love of God, or fear of God, and so forth. So on a simple level, it's what we spoke about a few weeks ago. On a simple level, this person who is not sitting and learning all day, and he's not on that well-trodden derech, he's on the orach, he's on the dangerous, untrodden path. Nevertheless, by the way that he speaks at work, and the way that he speaks of things that affect moral guidance. In other words, even the way that he speaks at work, he can make a kiddush Hashem. And the way that he addresses people, he could try to inspire people and uplift people without preaching, but to give people moral guidance and to teach love of Hashem or fear of God and so forth. Alternatively, so that's one level of the Orach. One level of the Orach is that a person is not on that derech day and night. He's on an Orach. But when he's on the Orach, he uses every moment of the time that he spends, he uses whatever he can when he's on the Orach, speaking for the sake of Hashem.
Orach implies the potential to create such an effect, a greatness, potential, something new that no one's done before.
Yeah.
And though the dangers are great, it would sound like the potential for the greatness is much greater than
right,
than it is.
Right. In the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, on some level, there is a greater appreciation for the Orach than the Derech, for the road not taken. And for those Jews who travel, that does not mean to say that the Baal Shem Tov, God forbid, was suggesting for people who are able to not sit and learn. He wasn't making that suggestion. He had great admiration for Talmid Chachamim. But what the Baal Shem Tov was saying is that the vast majority of Jews are not able to live on that Derech simply for financial reasons, for practical reasons, they can't. And in his time, you know that many of the simple Jews, they gave up hope that they could be Elohim, that they could be God-fearing Jews, because they felt that if they're not in that world, they're not immersed in the world of Torah mitzvahs, all that they're faced with is the impurity and the filth of the Orach and the challenges of the Orach that they can't possibly overcome. And in addition to that, they were hearing speech after speech, drush after drush, about how worthless they were and how evil they were and how all that exists is the Eitz Sahara that's waiting at every corner to destroy them. And the Baal Shem Tov, one of the major objectives of the Baal Shem Tov was to come to speak to the simple Jews, who, as you know, the Baal Shem Tov loved with a great, passionate love. And the Baal Shem Tov, in certain respects, and we have stories, maybe I'll mention some of them later on, about how the Baal Shem Tov, I mentioned one last week, how the Baal Shem Tov showed more attention to the Pshutayam, to the Pshutim, to the simple Jews. Since they weren't Bali Madregas, you know, one of the questions, I remember there was a Sikh from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Schulsi Again Elena, where the Rebbe was asking, he brought down there how the Baal Shem Tov would spend enormous amounts of time with simple people, bringing them to say Baruch Hashem, or Gleib Dei Bishter, right? To say like good things about God. And the Baal Shem Tov had tremendous delight when he would go over to simple people and say, so tell me, how's it going? And he would say Baruch Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov was very happy. Or to say, you know, Gleib Dei Bishter, everything is good. So the Baal Shem Tov would do this. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe once brought, I think it was from the Tzemach Tzedek, who asked, why would a person of such kaichas, such unbelievable kaichas, why would a person like that, like the Baal Shem Tov, spend time doing such a thing? We could be sitting and learning or teaching to go around for the purpose of having people, you know, carpenters and workers and farmers say, Gleib Dei Bishter, you know, thank God. The Baal Shem Tov had such a hanah from that. How could that be? So the Rebbe spoke about that in the Sicha, and she brought from some of the other tzaddikim from Chabad, that a person who's complicated, Talmud Chacham is a person, he's a Baal Madregas. He has different Madregas, different levels. He serves Hashem, he's operating, the Talmud Chacham is operating a certain level of understanding, a certain level of awareness. Therefore, mixed into godliness is his own personal awareness of godliness. Whereas the simple person, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, when he says Gleib Dei Bishter, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just talking about Atzmus Amus, he's talking about God himself. The complicated person is talking about all different fancy things, you know, different Madregas of godliness. And it's based upon, it's colored by his own awareness of godliness. But he says, but a simple Jew, when you ask a simple Jew, how's it going? So he says, Baruch Hashem. He doesn't know. He doesn't know anything fancy. He doesn't know about the spheres, about Chesed, Rut, Fez, Netzachim. He's talking about Atzmus Amus. He's talking about the Baruch Hashem himself. Not different Madregas, the different ways that Hashem relates to the world and all these interesting things, you know, Ramchals and the Ari and all the Zayas. He's talking about the Eibishter himself, the one above. So the Baal Shem Tov himself felt that when the simple people are reflecting upon God in their simple way, that they're unleashing into the world the Etzem and the Mahus, the essence of godliness itself, without any complications. It's a completely unadulterated godliness. Therefore, on some level, it's true. The Baal Shem Tov did, on some level, admire the Arach more than the Derach on a certain level. But it's dangerous if we were to say that the Baal Shem Tov would tell the Talmud Chacham to abandon his learning. He himself says over here, to abandon the Derach, to go looking for an Arach, that's not the way. But there are those who simply don't know, they can't, the Derach, again, I'm not talking about the simple Halacha, Yiddishkeit they keep, but in terms of sitting day and night only within the four Amos of Torah and of Halacha, sitting in that world, completely in the world of Torah, so there are many individuals who cannot do that. That's not the tachlis in this world. It's not the objective of their being in this world to begin with. So that's what he's explaining to Baal Shem Tov. He says, alternatively, he is a person who knows how to raise words so that they ascend to holiness as known from a number of people. Now, what does this mean, to raise words? What does it mean to raise words? That this person who's on the Orach raises words. Let me just, there's one sentence here that's from the Keser Shem Tov. Not in the footnote over there, but he actually brings this piece in the Keser Shem Tov. It's paragraph 203 in the Keser Shem Tov. Let me read it to you. You don't have it in front of you. It's in Lashon HaKodesh. Gam yachshav sheyoshev lilmado afilu b'divrei chulin as a yachshav be'ezeh inyin hu medaber. You remember we spoke over the last few weeks about how when a person experiences, let's say, a certain sense of attraction or of love. So that comes from which world? It comes from the world of Chesed. So the Baal Shem Tov said over and over again that instead of getting lost in that secondary manifestation of love, which might be, you know, your love for a person that you shouldn't love. It's not talking about loving your parents or loving a spouse, but it's inappropriate love. Instead of getting stuck in inappropriate love, the Baal Shem Tov said, stop and think for a second, where does this love come from? It comes from a very holy place, which is called Chesed. And it comes from Hashem. Let me turn my heart towards the master of the world. Or towards a holy application of Chesed instead of an unholy application of love. You know, that a person's in love with something that's not right. So let me turn it towards holiness. So the Baal Shem Tov is saying here, when he says that that a person should be able to raise words, but he's explaining in the Kesher Shem Tov, is that when a person is speaking, a regular person is speaking, because it sounds like raising words is something that's not for people like us. But on the other hand, we know that he's talking to simple Jews as well. So what does it mean to raise one's words? What does it mean practically to raise one's words? So he says that when you're sitting and learning, or even if you're speaking to somebody, what does it mean, divrei chulin? Stam. How you doing? How's the family? Divrei chulin, regular, you know, common talk. As a yaksho, what should you stop and think for a second? Ba'eze inyin hu medaber. What is the matter? What is the subject that you're talking about? Im be'ahava or be'yira? Are you speaking about ahava or speaking about or manas or benitzuach or vaydar? The seven spheres. For instance, when a person hears some distressing news, you hear distressing news that somebody is not feeling well, somebody that you know is not feeling well. So you're having a conversation. These conversations unfortunately take place all the time. Though, did you hear that so-and-so is not feeling well? So God forbid this happened. They had a heart attack. Was in the hospital, chalila. So you're having an everyday conversation. Now that conversation is the root and source of the nature of the conversation is coming from that quality that's called what? Rachamim. Rachamim. Rachamim is what? Chesed, Gvuras, Tiferes. The third sphere of the lower seven spheres is called Rachamim. Rachmanis. Right? Obviously, one has to study what's the meaning of Rachmanis. But what the Baal Shem Tov is saying is that when you're having this conversation, instead of it being completely sichas chul, which means instead of it being just a completely non-religious nature, say the same words. He's not saying you should say to somebody, oh, and by the way, let's focus for a moment on the sphere of Tiferes. You know, you're going to lose your friends very quickly. He's not talking about, can we stop for a moment and think about this sphere? He's not saying that. The Baal Shem Tov is not saying. He's saying a very simple person. Very simple. Let's say you say to someone, you say to a friend, like the midah of Netzach. So Netzach means to overcome a test, right? To overcome a temptation. So you could be talking to a friend about that has some sort of an eating problem. You're saying, you know, come on, you know, Moshe, put yourself together. You can do it. You know, you'll feel better. So he says, for a second, let it pass through your head. Those letters, Netzach, Netzach. I mean, you have to familiarize yourself with the midahs, obviously. But when you do that, what you're accomplishing is you're transforming basically harmless or idle chatter, could be harmless talk into something which is the Baal Shem Tov's cause over here, which he calls raising words. So they ascend to holiness. This is not something which you have to be a mekubal to do. You have to be a kabbalist to do. Absolutely, when you hear something, someone says to you, you know, I love chocolate ice cream. Yeah, yeah. You hear people, I love chocolate ice cream. So you stop and you think for a second that loving something even as simple and as mundane as ice cream, that feeling of affection for that also comes from chesed and so on, and that's with all of the midas. When there's someone that you love that you're talking to and you feel and you're communicating with a person, stop and think. You know, this is yesod. Yesod means to communicate. It means to connect. I'm connecting with somebody, even in business. There's a connection that's taking place. It's yesod, and this comes from Hashem. My ability to make this connection, to communicate with someone, and that thought the Baal Shem Tov says is called raising the words. Now, what he says is this is a dangerous path. It's much less likely. This is not a trodden path, because it's going to be your conversation. It's not like you're reading the Siddur. It's not like you're reading the Gemara. You're not reading the Shulchan Aruch. You're not reading Rashi or the Ramban or the Radak. It's you. And you're saying to somebody, what do you think of the weather today? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it a beautiful day? So this is a path that you've chosen for yourself. To be able to focus, the Baal Shem Tov says, and to be able to stop for a second and to remember where the beautiful day comes from, or what mead is it, or let's say you're afraid of something, and you're speaking to someone about some hesitation or anxiety that you have, so you connect that to this is Gevura. And when you have that thought that this comes from that world of Gevura, at that moment, so this is what the Baal Shem Tov says, you're erasing the words, which is an extremely great thing to do. And on some level, it's even greater than the road that's usually taken in some way. But he says, now to engage in these kinds of conversations is surely permissible. He's not talking about speaking about something which is forbidden. We don't need any fancy Torah to know that something is Lashon Hara. You just need another Chavetz Chaim. Whether it's Lashon Hara, you're saying something is not true. You're not raising anything when you say things that are not true. You're doing an Aveira. You're saying Lashon Hara. You can't say that you're raising something. It's an Aveira. You can't raise something if it's Asur. Nonetheless, they involve danger. Now, even though this conversation is a harmless conversation, you're not speaking anything that's forbidden. Nevertheless, he says, nonetheless, they involve danger, for he may stray from the proper path and start to speak also idle talk as the masses do. To speak idle talk as the masses do. Now, what he's speaking about here, idle talk as the masses do, the Baal Shem Tov in Keser Shem Tov, which you don't have in front of you, this is elaborated upon. So let me just read to you a paragraph from the Keser Shem Tov that you do not have in front of you, so you have a better idea of the danger of this path that the Baal Shem Tov is talking about, where you may stray from the proper path. If you're a person that engages in idle conversation, it might be just that, idle conversation. Otherwise, you just talk too much. You're saying things that are not of any use or not of any importance. So the Baal Shem Tov, in the Keser Shem Tov, he brings here, my Baal Shem Tov zal perish Mishnah to Ovis. It says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis, Hevim is chamim keneged ayron shel chacham, that you should warm yourself by the light of the chacham of the sages. That one should warm himself by the light of the sages. And then it says, Vehevi zohir bagachalosin shlesikava, but be very careful from the burning coal of the chacham, that you shouldn't, lest you get burnt. You shouldn't get burnt. So you should warm yourself by the light, but be careful not to get burnt. So what does that mean? So he says, listen to this from the Baal Shem Tov. We know from the Gemara that the earlier sages, before they would learn, before they would teach, they would say a joke. They would say a joke. Why would they say jokes before learning? Why would the Chacham get up and tell a joke before learning? Because we know that there's a certain characteristic that's called kitness, smallness. That means a constricted awareness. And there's a level that's called godless, when a person is in a state of expansiveness. By telling a joke, you can take a person, or you can take yourself, out of constricted awareness to more expansive awareness. Is that understood? Sometimes a person is feeling stuck in himself, and he's in a small place, and he's self-absorbed, and as a result of that, he can't come to any madrega, any level of greatness. He's in a place of kitness, of smallness. A word of a joke or of silliness that could open the heart. The person starts to climb a little bit out of being self-absorbed, and he's able to. And the mind, a joke expands the mind. It opens up the mind. It opens up the heart. And then he's able to climb out of smallness into greatness. Of course, they would say a milsa de dichusa. Maybe a Kiva comedy hour. You understand? It was a word of something that was humorous. A word, and with that word of something that was humorous, so the heart would open and the mind would expand. When a person is feeling glad, that's why it could be something which is very, very simple. It doesn't have to be a joke. It could be something which is very simple. Sometimes it could be, you don't feel like davening. You feel like, you're out of it. And let's say, you think of one of your children that said something cute, or you think of something, or if you have something that you like. You bought something new and you like it. It's a nice thing, and you think of it for a second. So then it puts you into a godless. Godless doesn't mean greatness, openness, bigness, right? As opposed to being constricted and shriveled, it brings you to a state of expansiveness. That's why they were tzaddikim, that they would sometimes look at coins or look at other things before davening, at beautiful things before davening, to bring about this expansiveness. Or before mincha, we'll see the Devar Chaim and others, that they used to davka when it was nice weather. They used to davka, go for a little tiyul. They used to go outside for 10-15 minutes before davening, to go for, not just for health, but to be outside. It brings to a certain expansiveness, a certain feeling of openness that could bring now to tefillah, to learning in a way that's why you know that when you're in a good mood, you're davening. You can be in a good mood for something that is very, very silly, but you're in a good mood, so you're davening. So there the Muslims from would all say, that that you're fooling yourself. You're not really excited about davening. You're just excited about the good thing. But the Chassidus Sforim guide us very, very carefully through that problem of how to use the expansive feeling towards something which is holy. And you're not fooling yourself. What you're doing is you are enabling yourself to come to a higher level of understanding by preparing yourself emotionally from being closed to being open. So he says, then you're able to daven with great fear and great love. So the beginning, you enjoy the funny, comic, you enjoy the joke. That was at the beginning. So your heart is open, but then you could really turn yourself towards Hashem, and there's no greater delight than enjoying that relationship with Hashem. When a person is in a state of constriction, smallness, there's a different, sometimes you can't bring yourself to godless. You just can't bring yourself out of that smallness. And then every single thing that you do, the Baal Shem Tov said, it's a war to be able to daven. It's a war with, you have to fight a battle to be able to say a word of davening, a word of learning. It's mamish a war. And the only reason you're doing it is because you have to do it. And sometimes you can't even carry out the good thing that you want to do. You just can't do it. In my heart, I'm hiding your words, Hashem. Meaning, so sometimes you're not your person. You can't sit and learn for that much time. You can't. It's a struggle. So therefore, what do? So the Baal Shem Tov said, so in that state of kitness, you go out into the physical world and you work. You're doing something in the physical world in Gashmias, eating, drinking, whatever it might be, right? You're in the physical world. And he says, you do these things, Yasin Yanam Gashmiyam. You engage in these physical things, but what should you be thinking in your heart? So the Baal Shem Tov says that in the person's heart, he should be aware of this. He should be aware that Safanti Imrasecha, that means your words, Hashem, are concealed within my heart. That right now I can't, I just can't bring myself to learn. I can't bring myself to bepoil to do something that you would rather that I do, Hashem. So in this physical act that I'm engaged in, I'm remembering you, Hashem. And I'm connecting, as we're learning here, to raise the act and to raise the words that it should be L'Shem Shemayim. So he says, V'zel Shom Chazal Benyin Torah Melacha Shigia Shneya Meshkachas Oven. And that's the meaning of what it says in Pirkei Avos, that Torah, together with work, will cause one to go away from Aveiros. V'gam Ayidei Sipurim Shemesaprim Chaveiro. And therefore, at a time when you're unable to concentrate on davening or learning a mitzvah, you said you could have conversations with another person. You can talk to another person. And with those conversations, you could come to Yichudim. You could unify Hashem's name with those conversations, as we learn. Or with the physical things that you're doing. You can have in mind that I'm enjoying this and it comes to midah of chesed. Or whatever that midah is that you're connecting to. That's, now we can understand the meaning of what it says in the Mishnah. You should warm yourself, he says. It says in Pirkei Avos, you should warm yourself by the light of the sages. But warming yourself by the light of the sages means when you see that there's a Talmud Chacham who's in a state of godless. That means he's learning, he's davening, he's involved in the service of Hashem. Then you should warm yourself by the light of the tzaddik of the Chacham. But some shame of godless for iskin bora taru tvila shame is lav and bora eishmam is pshita to have him as chamin kenegadar. Certainly, you should warm yourself by the Torah learning and by the davening of the tzaddik. But he says, but the Mishnah goes on, but be very careful from the coals of the tzaddik, of the chacham. And also, why does it say, warm yourself by their light, but be careful of the coals? What does it mean, the coals of the chacham? So he says, when the tzaddik is not learning a davening. When the tzaddik, for whatever reason, he's not learning a davening during that time. Either because the tzaddik has to go through something in order to bring up a lot of holiness. Or the tzaddik, whatever his kavanah, so that's not the point. The point is that at that moment in his life, the tzaddik is eating or drinking or something else. So he says, there you have to be, it says, have you have to be careful, because this is not the path that's trodden upon, right? The path that's trodden upon, the derech, is Torah and Tefillah, and then you warm yourself by the light of the tzaddikim. But what happens when the tzaddik is not traveling down that derech, but instead he's on the path that's not the trodden path of serving Hashem, which means raising the letters and raising those feelings through eating and sleeping and drinking and things of this world. So then it says, be careful of the kol. Why a kol? She says, k'shehem b'me'a kidnes, she'en lehem or le'eslayiv, dor p'nimi. Because sometimes the tzaddik, for whatever reason, he's not able to shine with that hidden, with that inner light. He's not shining with that light of Torah and Tefillah. Vaz nikra, but the tzaddik, even when he's not shining with the light of Torah and Tefillah, in other words, even when the tzaddik is not engaged in learning or davening, vaz nikra gacheles. What's he called? A kol. Meaning, a kol means bli or p'nimi. It does not shine with a light. There's a fire. There's a fire in the tzaddik. Like the coal, that's a fiery coal, but it's not illuminating, it's not shining, but it has that, there is a fire, but the coal, it's the coal that's, I'm looking for a certain word, it's not on fire. It's generating a certain heat, and it's like, you know, is a smoldering ember. It doesn't give light. It doesn't give light. But there's a heat, there's a fire, so then you have to be very, very careful, because you don't see a light there, right? It's not the trodden path. So the Baal Shem Tov said, that's called the gecheles, that's called that smoldering ember. Bli or pnimi v'yitzah talmud lulma v'manu. Mashayisa b'gashmi. So now the Talmud says, oh, I'm going to do the same gashmi thing like my Rebbe. As my Rebbe says, I see by the tzaddik that he has seudas. You know, the Divrei Chaim, we're going to learn about the Divrei Chaim, Mitzvah Shem. The Divrei Chaim used to have a tish every single day. Do you know that? Every day the Divrei Chaim had a tish. Not just Shabbos and Yom Tov, or Yahrzeit, side, whatever. Every single morning after davening, the Divrei Chaim had a tish. And Chassidim would come, the Divrei Chaim had a tish. With eating, Ba'arichas. You know that he was the Gadol HaDor learning. And he would have a tish. So you might think, listen, the Divrei Chaim's having a tish, so I should also have a tish every day for an hour. An hour or two. I also should sit by breakfast for an hour or two. You know, it says you should warm yourself by the light of the tzaddik. So that's the Baal Shem Tov says, no, that's when the Mishnah is saying, that's referring to the trodden path, the safe path. Sure. The way that the Rebbe davens him to learn from his davening and learning, and that's beautiful. That's a sure path. But when it comes to the things that are unusual that the Rebbe is doing to serve Hashem, the different things, the unusual things, meaning the untrodden path, when it's things of this world, right? So they say that, you know, the Chavos Chaim, far from being a person who was quite, the people, and I've spoken to people who were by the Chavos Chaim was extremely talkative. And we know that when the Chavos Chaim was talking, in every single thing that he was saying, that in a very holy way, he was completely obsessed with speech, with perfecting speech. So the Baal Shem Tov used to have long conversations with farmers about the different crops and about, he used to schmooze with people when he was walking. He used to talk to people. And our times, when Moshe Feinstein's Echatzak Levracha, he used to go sit, and they used to sit on the Lower East Side, those guys were sitting there in the park playing chess, you know. And Moshe used to go, from what I heard, and I read in the Sefer, every single Shabbos before he came home, Moshe used to go and sit with those people who were not from, in the park. He used to schmooze them a little bit about different things, about this and about that. Not just if, certainly he was friendly. But the student would think and would watch the Rebbe and say, if that's the case, then I too should engage in, and it's not, you know, one has to be careful. Good. So you should learn from that too. You have to learn from your Rebbe in every respect, but you have to be careful. That's not the trodden path. So you have to be careful there. Because you might get burnt by that smoldering ember of your Rebbe serving Hashem when he's not shining with the clear light of Torah and Tefillah. When you dare mash mekayim harav, as believe it, safanter mosechel of a certain tzaddikim that they were known to eat a vast amount of food. They were tzaddikim that ate an unusual amount of food. And people that don't believe in the avodah of the tzaddik, they think, you know, it's crazy. It was something which is not bederech hateva to eat that much. So the student could sit there and say, listen, this is my rabbi does. I want to be like my rabbi. That's something which is obviously very dangerous. There was tzaddikim, you know, it was a big avodah. It was called the k'tiris. What was the k'tiris? K'tiris was, that was in the Beis HaMikdash, but by tzaddikim, what was the k'tiris? I don't know what was that. They were smoking. And with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and then by the tzaddikim, it was an avodah. It was a whole thing. And they used to call it k'tiris. So therefore, the tzaddik, I mean, that's before they knew about or I shouldn't say before they knew, but maybe things changed the teva in nature, and it became something which is harmful. But the students are sitting, should look at the tzaddik and say, it's time for my k'tiris also. It's not time for your k'tiris. That's not something you have to be very careful. To be very careful with that. Because as believe it's a fanti mesecha, lasa begish, begashmi, makavim, pnimi, veruchni. Because the tzaddik is living in that way of believe it's a fanti mesecha, that your words Hashem are hidden in my heart. So even when the tzaddik is engaged in physical things, the tzaddik, we're talking about a real tzaddik, that tzaddik, even though he's engaged in physical things, like I told you a few stories in the Bedisha, the things that he would say that were absolutely outrageous things that he would say. Or the Rebbe of Zushia, this is the nice one we have from the Rebbe of Zushia, things he used to say that was just unbelievable things. That seemed to be the simplest and most coarse and silly things to say. That they were in those conversations that they were mamish elevating and raising the words. But that's the Rebbe, because the Rebbe is Belibi Tzafanti Yimasecha. Because with the Tzaddik, Hashem's will is concealed, is hidden in his heart like that smoldering ember. And the Tzaddik's on fire, it's just that he's not shining at that time. So what will the student learn? The student will learn what he sees with his eyes. And he might be punished. That's what it means. Now listen to the end of this. So the end of that mission is, so you have to be careful of the smoldering embers of the tzaddik. Be careful, you might get burnt, right? That's what it says in the mission. You might get burnt. You might get punished because you're trying to imitate the way that the tzaddik does physical things. And you might get burnt by that. And the end of the mission is because their bite, the bite of the chacham is like the bite of the fox, and the sting is like the sting of the scorpion. So what does that mean? So he doesn't explain here the meaning of the fox, the shua, but he does explain the sting of the scorpion. He says a very, very deep thing. The Baal Shem Tov said, Ratzalaimer, Shemekarev Zayin Madregis, the seven Madregis, Shekol Echad Nichlal Me'asara. Remember, each of the seven spheres, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisod, and Malchus, each of those seven midos, are all built from the ten spheres. That's what we, when we say Sphere Soma, right? So you have Chesed, Shebe, Chesed, and so on. Right? So every sphere, without going into anything Kabbalistic, each aspect, each sphere is itself built of a interfacing of the ten spheres. So the Baal Shem Tov therefore said, you have to be careful if you're trying to imitate the midos of the Chacham. Why? Because he says, Karav Sheva Madrega, Shekolach Nichol Masar, Vinikra Ayin. Karav. The tzaddik's way is the way of the scorpion, which is Ayin. How much is Ayin equal? 70. Which means the seven midos times 10, the 10 spheres. Karav, which means Shemekarev Sheva Madregas Elul Lasharshan, because all the tzaddik's life, what he's doing is not only is he going on the regular path, but the tzaddik's job is to lift up the sparks that have fallen on the paths that are not trodden. Therefore, the tzaddik is involved in all types of physical things. And in order, why is he doing that? There's the mystery of Akrav, which means a scorpion, which is Ayin 70, which means the seven lower spheres. Interfacing with the 10 spheres altogether, including Chabad and so on, which equals 70. Karav, which means Shemekarev Zayin Madregas Elishosh, because the tzaddik's entire life, he is being Makarev, drawing near, bringing close the 70, that world of 70, the seven Madregas back to their root in holiness. That's what it means, Akrav. Ayin, 70, 7 times 10. Karav, the tzaddik, that's what the tzaddik is doing. And therefore, the tzaddik is believed b'tzafanti imersecha. The tzaddik is involved in that very deep thing, even though he's not shining, and for whatever reason, at that moment, he's not learning, he's not davening. He's not learning, he's not davening. The Rebbe Zushia, it was almost impossible to catch him learning. The Rebbe Zushia couldn't catch him learning. So even though he's not learning, he's not davening, he's doing something that's very remarkable, that's very deep, and he's at that time like that smoldering ember. He says, okay, the students should, we learn from the tzaddik, and you have to be very, very careful when you're going into that way, because that is ayin krav, a krav. You might get stung by the tzaddik's scorpion type of behavior, which is that ayin, the 70 ways, karav, he's bringing back to holiness. That Talmud en yodem, he said. The student doesn't understand this. V'sovish harav, I said, begish mekepshutos. And he thinks, the student thinks that the Rebbe is just, you know, he's just eating or doing stuff like anybody else. Or that the tzaddik's just, you know, sleeping or like anybody else. So therefore, Either he loses respect for the tzaddik, or he says, if the tzaddik does that, then that's what I'm going to do as well. And really, the tzaddik is involved in akrav, in ayin karav, bringing near those ways. So that's what the danger that the Baal Shem Tov is referring to here in this piece that we're doing, right before footnote 3. Nonetheless, they involve danger if he may stray from the proper path and start to speak also idle talk, as the masses do. For this reason, one must pray and petition God, blessed be He, that He help him when desiring to walk on this path. For without the help of Hashem, blessed be He, it is easy for man to stray in that way. Thus, one must girdle his loins with prayer not to stumble into transgression, heaven forbid. Right, so for all those people that say that, I'm taking this course in college because the Rambam took, the Rambam also was an expert in that. To speak of ourselves like the Rambam, and to compare ourselves to the Rambam, just say you're taking the course because you want to graduate and go to work. And there's nothing unholy about that necessarily, But, the people who give these arguments that they compare themselves to the Rambam, because the Rambam was a great scholar, therefore I'm also taking the sciences and so on. When the Rambam was engaging in the study of these subjects, every single second was connecting to the highest worlds, and his intentions were with every single word that he spoke and everything that he did was to make this yichud to Hashem. So we have to be very careful because you could stumble into transgression, God forbid. This then is the meaning of the verse. In other words, for one to say that there's no difference between learning in yeshiva and going to college, that's obviously absurd. Studying Torah is the trodden path. There's a path that's not well trodden. That's a dangerous path, and one has to daven and ask Hashem for siyata d'shmaya, that I shouldn't, God forbid, stumble and chalila fall to the wrong thing, the wrong place. I think this is not something which is to say that's against the idea of there being any secular knowledge, which comes from the Torah itself, but the idea is don't fool yourself. That's a dangerous path. That's a very dangerous path. It is a way to serve Hashem. It certainly is. But it's not the road that's usually taken in the service of Hashem. Therefore, one has to be careful. This, then, is the meaning of the verse. Now we come, and we can now understand the pasuk. Hashem, teach me your derech. So Dovna says, Hashem, teach me your derech. Hareini Hashem darkecha. Teach me so that I may know the trodden road. So for then I can walk it on my own. So Hashem, teach me the Torah, teach me the way of tefillah, teach me the way of serving you, Shulchan Aruch, and being an Eilechi, being a good God-fearing Jew. So then I can walk it on, my own. But then the second part is, Hareini Barach Mishor, not Hareini, that's Hareini Hashem Dakecha, that has the end of the passage, Ivan, Chaini Barach Mishor, and lead me on the Orach of uprightness, on which I may stray, meaning I pray that you, the last page, that you lead me with the aid, help, and support, enabling me to go with uprightness and not crooked. When on the Orach, we're asking Hashem to support me, that I should be able to go on the Orach Mishor, and it shouldn't become crooked. This can become crooked. For without your help, heaven forbid, I may stray on it, as mentioned above. This is also alluded in the verse, know him in all your ways. V'chol drachecha te'ehu, and he will straighten your paths. Right? V'yasher orcho secho. It says there also the lesson of Orach. Know Hashem in all your ways. That sums up all the Baal Shem Tov's teachings. V'chol drachecha te'ehu, know God in all your ways, not just in the yeshiva, not just in davening, but in all your ways to know Hashem. And the end of the pasuk is that Hashem will straighten your v'yasher orcho secho. It says he will straighten your paths. This means, with regard to all trodden roads, man must himself know very well how to go and conduct himself thereon. One is capable of this knowledge and conduct. You have to learn, you have to know the halacha. Then Hashem, blessed be He, will straighten your paths. If you pour your heart into learning and davening the best you can, and you warm yourself by the light of the sages, then Hashem promises that if that's the case, I will help you, that even your eating and your sleeping and the way you conduct yourself in business, all of the orchos of your life, all of those paths of your life will also not be crooked, they'll be straight. If you do the best you can in the derech, Hashem promises His help in the orach. Then He, Hashem, blessed be He, will straighten your paths. He will straighten for you even the untrodden roads and aid and help you so that you will not stray. If you look at footnote 4, this idea is already found in the writings of the Kisvei Ari, from Rav Chaim Vital, and look at the Torah on Mishlei. Look in footnote 4, in all your ways, meaning on the paved road which refers to the commandments, know him. So to be lishma, that's talking about the commandments, doing them for their own sake, and he will straighten your paths, your arach, meaning the irregular paths, as in crooked paths. Though it is difficult to engage in mundane, pleasurable activities for the sake of heaven, because before us man enjoys them and seeks their pleasure, he, blessed be he, will straighten them and put into your heart to know how to do it lishma. So the person who's learning is very weak and is not, and his mitzvahs are not lishma, not really for the sake of Torah mitzvahs. So that person will go out to the basketball court and say that this is the biggest mitzvah I could do in the world, you know, because God wants me to be healthy. Of course God wants you to be healthy, but to fool yourself into thinking that's like some, you know, you could say l'shem yichud before you take a foul shot, you know, that's ridiculous. You're just indulging in something which is pleasurable. Not to say it's an aveirin, it's not aveirin, but that's far, far from being, raising the words and actions and thoughts that, like the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. And this brings us, Lamaisa, to one of the traditions of what it was that the Baal Shem Tov, one of the things that the Baal Shem Tov said before he died. There are different versions of this, and the one that I'm going to tell you now is one of the last things that the Baal Shem Tov said is in the tradition of Chabad and Chernobyl as well, I believe. I'm pretty sure that I heard this in Chernobyl. They also said that this is what the Baal Shem Tov said. That the Baal Shem Tov said that he would have been able, he had the possibility, he had the ability, la'alos b'sa'ara shamayim akeliyo hanavi, that he could have risen to like in a chariot of fire, on a chariot of fire like Eliyahu HaNavi. Now, the version that we saw a couple of months ago was that, but because his wife had passed away, he couldn't. But the version here in Chabad is that he could have risen on a chariot of fire, the Baal Shem Tov said about himself, like Eliyahu HaNavi. Ela sherotza lavras ha'inyin shel ki ofer ata ve'el ofer toshuv. But he did not want that. He says, I could have done that had I wanted to, but I didn't want to, because what I wanted to instead was to go by the path of ofer ata. You are dirt, you come from dirt, and to the dirt you shall return. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said before he died. And had I wanted to, I could have gone up in a chariot of fire like Eliyahu HaNavi. But I chose not to. I wanted something else. I wanted to return to the dirt. So Lubavitcher Rebbe explained this. What does it mean? What does this mean? And why did the Baal Shem Tov say this at the very end of his life? Certainly the Baal Shem Tov wasn't showing off. That's not even shy. So what does it mean when he said, I could have gone like Eliyahu HaNavi, but I chose the path of ki ofra ata ve'lo ofra toshuv, the Pasuk in Bereishis, right? You come from the dirt, you are, and you will return to the dirt. So the Baal Shem Tov explained the following. Ma'asha Omer HaBaal Shem Tov, he said this in Tavshin Chavav, 1966, in the Sicha. Ma'asha Omer HaBaal Shem Tov, Shayoch Lufel, Shiala B'Sara, Shamayim Ekmeli Anavi, Ela Shirot L'Kaim, Es Anem Ofa Atav, Ofa Toshuv, Ha'apapich in Muvan, Sh'ein B'Zeh Shum Chisar, Nes Eliyahu HaNavi. The Rebbe said, this doesn't mean there's anything missing by Eliyahu HaNavi, God forbid. Like, you know, I want to do better than Eliyahu. He says, the Rebbe says that Eliyahu HaNavi is a different Indian. But why did the Baal Shem Tov say this? He said, because zehu kol ha'inyan depnimiyas ha'tarish nezgala edeha Baal Shem Tov. Because this is all that the Baal Shem Tov wanted in his life. To reveal this teaching, which is what? Ashet shvichim lifel gam kem bin yonim gashmiyam. That the tachlis of men in this world is to change the dirt, not to rise to heaven. To change something in this dirty world. To lift up something in this world. Not just to be out there, you know, in the higher spheres, not just to be someone that goes in a chariot of fire, not to be someone that's just been learning and in davening, that you're able to connect to Hashem, but at work you feel like you have no connection to God. He says, no. He says, the whole Indian, the Rebbe explains, this is the whole Indian that the Baal Shem Tov revealed. Ashet shvichim lifel gam kim bin yonim gashmiyim. That you have to change, you have to affect the physical reality as well. Bin yonim atachtonim. And even earlier, from Tavshin Yud Beis. Zehu shomar Baal Shem Tov, sh'af sh'yochlu la'az b'sar ha'shabak Eliyahu HaNavi. Roitzehu la'avar durgein. Ha'inyin devel ofer toshuv. That the Baal Shem Tov said, I don't want to go straight up to heaven. I want to pass through that place of the dirt. Because the lowest place to man, to where man can descend, is the dirt, the earth. And that is a hachon nehilu madrega yoyisanalis. It's always a way of preparing for a much higher madrega. Mashir aliyah b'sar ha'shamayim, than the one who is simply going straight to heaven. I want to pass through the dirt to get to heaven. I don't want to go straight to heaven. And that's all of man's life, is to pass through the dirt and then get to heaven, not to go to heaven. And that's what Tchias HaMesim is all about, the resurrection of the dead. That the body is buried in the earth and goes to that world of Elof HaToshuv. The Kevin Shahayirida Achanu Muchrachasila Alila Madregi Yosanalis. So the Rebbe ended and he said, and since this Yerida, this descent into physical things, into eating and drinking and working and so on, is for the purpose of reaching even a higher Madrega, I write the Emes, the Rebbe says, Ain's a Yerida, it's really not a Yerida. And therefore, when the person is at work, the person doing something which is physical, he should not think that this is a terrible Yerida, I'm doing something which is bad or evil or disgusting. Kim Chelik Min Ha'aliyah Hanalis Yoyser. He should think of this physical act as being a part of that which is most exalted and which is most beautiful in the way of serving Hashem himself. He should not think of it as a negative, disgusting thing, that he's far from holiness. He should think of it in a positive way, that he's doing something, that if he has the right thoughts and the right intentions, that he's doing something which is the beginning of the greatest Aliyah, which is that transformation from death to life, that man is buried in the earth, but he's able to rise from the dirt, and so too you and I can go through that each and every day with physical things and simple matters of life, to go through that process of Tchias HaMesim, of going through that first stage of Ki Ofra Ata Vel Ofra Toshu, but from there of Shoich Nei Ofra, those who dwell in the dirt, Yakutzav Yaroinu, that they will rise up and will sing because it's part of one's Avodas Hashem. And that pretty much is a summary of the Teres of Shevta, and that explains, the Rebbe explains, that's why when he left this world, that's one of the last things that he said on the day of his Istavkus, on the day of his death, was that he chose not to go up to heaven. He chose to travel through the dirt, because that's the path that the Baal Shem Tov taught each and every one of us that we have to go in this world. Mr. Shem, maybe next time I'll tell maybe a few Maisim, and we're going to start to talk about the life of the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov, and to learn his Torahs. Shkoyach.